Good morning, Mission Boulevard. As you can tell, we're doing things a little bit differently in order today. And I have to say, I have to start out with an apology. I don't have to apologize a lot up here. Probably should apologize more, but it's mostly just to Rachel because she has to look at me so often. But no, I wanted to start out with an apology to the men who were at the men's meeting yesterday. Yes, Saturday morning. I'm going to get to a lesson here in a minute, and the apology will fit into that, so you'll see. But I have to apologize for being childish. My attitude on Saturday morning and the way I addressed our men's meeting, it wasn't, I don't think, directly offensive to anyone there, but it was childish reaction. And so I want to apologize to all the men who were at the men's meeting. Now, for those of you who weren't at the men's meeting, you're like, what's going on? It wasn't anything important, really. You can ask the men later, and we'll tell you that we're sworn to secrecy. But the lesson that I felt like I had to bring this morning was about childishness and about growing up a little bit. And I want to ask RJ a question down here. Sorry, Ron, I'm going to make you move the camera here. But RJ, what was the reason for the war between the states, also known as the Civil War? Would you tell us what the reason was behind that?
It was a lot of different reasons, but the main one was slavery.
All right. I like that he qualified that with there are lots of different reasons, hedging his bets there. Now, RJ, how many years of school have you gone through now? Let's do this. What grade are you in, RJ?
Sixth grade.
So, you have learned history or social studies for at least three of those 6 years in actual school. So you've been studying a little bit about the war between the states for several years now. Okay. Now, we could probably pull some of the older young men and women out of the audience here. I could probably ask Daniel back there to explain to us why the cause was for the war between the states. And I bet Daniel could give us a little bit more detail than that. But you know what? I bet that if I walked through this audience and selected some of our adults, I bet they could tell us a little bit more, too. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. Brother Gary already looks worried. But having years more to have studied and looked at some of the original documents that were written during that time and hearing from the people there, years more of study brings a lot more knowledge there. And, you know, if I asked Connor back there, Connor, what grade are you in? Second grade. So if I asked Connor, Connor, do you know the reason for the war between the states? No? Nope. Okay. That's about what I expected there. When Connor gets to be RJ's age, would you still expect him to shake his head and say, no, I don't know? Well, no, you'd expect him to know more, right? And when RJ gets to be my age, I would expect him to know a lot more as well. You know, there's a way that things are supposed to progress for us in our lives in general. And that's why sometimes we look at people's behavior who are in the public eye and we think, well, that's not right. Boy, they should have grown up by now. There are a couple of verses I want to share with you. So the first one is from 1 Peter chapter 2. One that most of us are familiar with. We're going to start in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I added that last verse in there. I think a lot of times we stop at the end of verse 2 where it says that ye may grow thereby, because we do need to be growing. And this verse gets discussed a lot. Right. Who drinks milk as their primary source of food? Babies. You do also? Okay. All right. David also does. Oh, no. You were just going to tell us that it was babies. Okay. Thank you, David, for raising your hand before you answer. He's learned that well in our chapel class. Yes. Babies. Their primary source there is milk. So you get that and then you grow into those stronger meats that the scripture talks about. But I like that the verse right after that says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Because, you know, one of the things that I think that happens as we grow is You make mistakes, which is one of the primary ways that you learn. Great. And the Lord is very gracious with us when that happens. And that's one of the things that I was convicted about yesterday is, you know, the Lord has been very gracious with me for years with my mistakes. And sometimes I act like the man who owed money to the rich ruler. The ruler forgave him and he turned around and started trying to collect all of his debts. God's forgiven me a lot. And sometimes I forget that that's something that he wants from me as well, to give out a little bit of that same grace that he's given me. Another verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the end of what we commonly refer to as the love chapter. It goes through all of these details about what love should be. And then we come to these verses. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And then verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, which is love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. We move from speaking as a child to having love as our primary focus. I think that's not an accident that the verses were put in that order. When you're speaking and understanding and acting as a child, the only love that you have is for yourself. Your focus is on you. And this love that it talks about is not the love that is self-focused, the love that desires things for you. It is a love that comes from God and desires the thing that he wants, which is for all the world to come to salvation, right? One last set of verses that I want to read through, and this is more something for you to ponder as you go. As I was thinking about my own behavior and how I need to correct some of my behavior that is still childish, even though I'm supposed to be a man, I thought, what are those things that I need to focus on to change in my life? And the Bible gives several really good lists of things that you should do in your life. Actually, Brother Stan shared a good list with us yesterday morning in his devotion. But the list that I want to share with you is not a list of things you should do. It is the opposite. And it comes from Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 22. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. We know about this, right? Before you were saved, you had the old man, an old way of doing things. And that's what we need to put away. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, here's where we start with the things you need to get rid of in your life. If you want to grow up, if you want people, all of my young people in here, Daniel, Gideon, David, Leura, Reagan, I saw you back there, yes, you're still there. All of you young people, if you want people to take you seriously, if you want the adults to come and to think, this is a person who is growing up and I don't have to treat like a little baby anymore. These are some of the things you need to get rid of in your life. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let anger control you. Neither give place to the devil. That's a pretty broad one there. You know, you can give the devil an inch in your life, and he will take the proverbial mile. If you give him an opening, he will exploit it. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And I want to point out, you know, a lot of you are thinking, well, I haven't stolen something in a long time. You know, I never stole something from a convenience store. That's like I think that's the story that most kids will be able to tell, is they grabbed a candy bar or something in their pocket from a convenience. I never did that. Even at the Dillon's down here on the corner, which we used to love to go to, I mean, candy bars were cheap enough at that point. I didn't have to steal one. My parents always had the 12 cents or whatever that you could buy a candy bar for. As a matter of fact, if they didn't have it, Caleb and I, quite often, there was a muddy patch in the corner of the parking lot, and it seemed like people would go over there and fumble with their change a lot, because we could always find a couple of quarters buried in the grime over in the corner of the parking lot. So I could always afford a candy bar if I wanted to dig through the dirt. But this stealing here does not just refer to you physically taking an object. Sometimes you're stealing more than that. Sometimes you're stealing time from your employer. Maybe you're working from home, and when you're working from home, you're not doing all that much work. Or maybe, as a teacher at the school, I experience this a lot, that I'm stealing away some time from my students when I don't come into class prepared to teach the way that I should. So when we hear about not stealing anymore, don't push that out of your mind because you think, I have not shoplifted in a long time. Maybe there are some other ways that you're stealing. Maybe you're listening online right now, and you could be in the sanctuary. And you are stealing time from God in His house that He wants you to be here. Next one says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Corrupt communication is a big problem in the world today. If you follow social media, if you listen to our politicians, if you listen to most of the preachers in the United States today, you are going to hear a lot of corrupt communication. That's not something that should be the case with us. When you talk to me, I want you to hear something that is edifying, that it may minister grace unto you. And if it's not, I wish you'd say something to me. I wish you'd confront me and tell me, that's not edifying. That's not something that I need to hear. That's not the word of God coming out of your mouth. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Ooh, clamor is a big one with us. Do you talk just to be talking sometimes? I know a lot of our young ladies have the great ability called the gift of gab. They enjoy talking with each other, and you know, it is great to enjoy each other's company. But sometimes that clamor gets in the way. Sometimes when you talk just to be talking, you're distracting from the things that are important. Let all of that clamor and evil speaking, let it be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Again, bringing it back to the fact that I can be so childish in my reactions to others when I know that God has been so mature in His treatment of me. For those of you who have kids, you know that your kids mess up sometimes. And when they do, your first thought is not, I got to put them out of the house. I've got a nice doghouse outside that they can stay in. Your first thought is about reconciling and teaching them so that they will be better, because you want them to mature the same way that you have, hopefully. So my encouragement for us today is that when we went through this list here, hopefully you are not making the same childish mistakes that I am. But if you are, can you look through this list and say, these are some of the things I need to get rid of? Because you are an example of the believer. Whether you want to be or not, you are. And when people look at you, they need to see that you've put away these things, that you have moved on from childishness to maturity in Christ.
We're glad you joined us for our services here at Mission Boulevard Baptist Church. We look forward to having you join us again online, but you are always welcome to personally attend any of our services at the Mission Boulevard Baptist Church here in Fayetteville, Arkansas.